Welcome to the podcast series, Interest Rates with Mates, with Colin, Todd, Sean, and Cass. It's my general chat.
So where'd that come from?
Alright, we're doing a general chat today. So we'll try to do this maybe once every couple of months. And this is just an update on what's going on, policy niches, anything to do with things changing in our world.
Yeah, I think there's been a few good changes since start of July. So I think we should talk about that today.
Yep.
Update our listeners.
Yeah, we've got some very exciting news for 1% buffers, which we'll touch on a bit later as well. And we've seen some rate moves as well.
Yeah, downwards.
Which is nice change.
Change. So it's some good self-employed policies.
Yeah, so let's start there. So we're in the new financial year, obviously, 2023-2024. So we just wanted to touch base on sort of or remind everyone sort of the policy around self-employed. Now, the most common one at the moment is 1 year in isolation. So if you're thinking about, you know, doing your tax for this year, and obviously if you've had a better year and that's reflected over your BAS from last year, you know that you're going to have a good year. This is when you come see us and, we'll do that borrowing capacity and go, okay, you're ready to go.
Yeah, I'm working with a lot of clients at the moment and have been for like the last probably 8 weeks, sort of getting them ready, chatting with their accountant. Just letting them know that, you know, we don't necessarily need FY22 or FY21. We can sort of work with you, get those updated FY23 financials complete, run through the numbers, show them how their borrowing capacity looks based off those latest figures. Obviously, now with the FY23s coming through too, there's, you know, most of them don't have any sort of JobKeeper income or any of those government incentives, COVID stuff that's been around for the last few years. Even though most lenders are accepting that now or ignoring it, the JobSeeker stuff isn't really an issue, or JobKeeper, sorry. Those financials are starting to get back on track and look a lot cleaner now moving forward.
There's less questions that the bank come back to.
Yeah, us. Definitely. Yeah. It's probably the biggest thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think it's important too to highlight that, some businesses can be quite complicated in their structuring, companies and trusts and different things going on there, or partnerships, for example. But we're well equipped and trained, obviously, to go through the financial statements as well. So, I mean, I've had plenty of instances this year alone where maybe the banks have got it wrong in terms of borrowing capacity because they've read the tax returns wrong, and then we've been able to overturn it. So if you've got a complicated structure, give us a call. We're happy to have a look through your financials.
Or even if you've been to your bank and they wanted, 2 years of financials and they're averaging the two incomes, the 2 years, that's the traditional method of calculating or verifying self-employed income. However, there's so many new alternate policies around with different lenders. So as Sean alluded to, 1 year financials in isolation is a common one, but also director wages, like we've spoken about in the past. So, if you're running the business and you're paying yourself a wage, we can potentially just treat you as a PAYG applicant. So
yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really important too, because we treat a director who's paying themselves a wage, it means that if you've got any business debt as well, we can exclude that business debt as well, which is really important.
I've had some earth moving companies that have lots of vehicle leases and things like that, and they're trading very profitably, but most lenders want to expense those liabilities as personal liabilities, and it just blows servicing. So to treat those types of clients as a PAYG applicant, has some.
It's an interesting one. Someone actually at the start of the year and in equipment. Quite a lot of machinery on their balance sheet as a debt. And we removed that because they were paying themselves as a director and we increased their borrowing capacity. I think it was around $600,000 more they could borrow. It was quite a lot more money to get them across the line. So it's a great policy. Not all banks do it. There are a handful of banks that do it, but it's a great policy.
And the other good policy is as well as one lender's doing, just using your notice of assessment as well.
Yeah, last 2 years notice of assessment, that's another good policy. Just you can exclude all business debts then, because you're just looking at the
individual,
basically the take-home wage sort of thing, like the take-home income. Yep. So, yeah, that's another good one, Sean.
Yep. Really important,
So when we came into work last week, I opened up an email and I had a decrease on a variable rate. And I was a bit shocked because I haven't seen one of those for a very long time.
Yeah. What's a decrease?
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, Linda came out last week and said that they were reducing their variable rates by 0.1.
Yeah.
So there is we've also had another Linda that's reduced their variable rates, so could be a sign of new things to come.
And there's other banks also that are now ringing us directly saying that whatever the advertised rate is, we can do better, so yes. Give me a call.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting times now. Like, I think July's kicked off, new financial year. Banks are obviously gone through that turbulent sort of times with rate increases, and now they're all fighting back for their market share.
Yeah.
So I think if you're seeing an advertised rate on Google or on the website, don't believe that that's the final rate that you can get. Give us a call, because we're pricing quite a lot at the moment and getting better rates.
You had some really good pricing last
week. Yeah, so that's the thing, the pricing. And, like, if you look at CBA's advertised rates, like, they're just shocking.
6.5%.
Yeah. But, obviously we can do pricing requests in the background, so we can go and negotiate those variable rates. And some of the big banks, getting, you know, some really nice discounts down in the sort of mid to high five. So, there's some big changes there on the variable rates. Obviously, the fixed rates are still sort of trending up, which is pretty unfortunate. We'll see what's to come there. But, the fixed rate's trending up, but we're starting to see some good news on the variable rates.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And probably the last thing that we want to touch on, and it's an exciting change, is the change of the buffer rate when you're refinancing. So traditionally, it's always been a 3% buffer on top of the interest rate, and that's sort of to give a bank a little bit of comfort if rates do go that high. Now, you're nearly servicing on 9.5%,
10%. Yeah, 9.5%.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. So some lenders have already had this released and said, okay, if that fails servicing, then they're happy to do a 1% buffer, and if that sort of passes, then they're okay to sort of proceed on. Now, there are quite a few T's and C's involved with this, because obviously the 3% is governed by APRA.
Yes.
Yep. So doing a 1% buffer is, you know, not going behind APRA, but, you know, they're sort of covering off bases. So there is quite a big checklist to go through.
I think the main thing with it has got to be a like for like. It can't be that you're consolidating $100,000 worth of debt. It's got to be a like for like. It's got to be essentially what these banks are trying to prove or do is not make someone a prisoner of their own bank. So if they can move for a cheaper rate, cheaper repayment based on what they're paying at the moment, and it's on a 1% buffer, like we've said, then we should be able to get those ones through, at least give it a good chance of going through.
Yeah. So obviously, there can be no missed repayments or nothing sort of, nothing negative on their credit report. It needs to be a really solid credit score. As you said, like for like, so no debt consolidation, or with most lenders, no debt consolidation, and, you know. As Cole said, it's more so targeted to alleviate and eliminate any mortgage prisoners, which we know has been a big issue in the past. People just locked into their current bank, getting charged exorbitant interest rates, and they can't move anywhere.
Well, that 2% buffer, you know, that can give people back, you know, up to $150,000 back in borrowing capacity. So it does make a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look, I mean, and, you know, roughly the multiplier at the moment, if we're using a 3% buffer, it's around 4.5 times your gross salary is what I'm working at the moment. That someone can borrow. So, I mean, obviously there's some fluctuations in that depending on, you know, debts and dependent children and stuff like that. But that's sort of the multiplier at the moment. But if we reduce that 3% to 2 or even 1%, that's an extra, up to around 6-7 time multiplier. So it's actually quite a lot more in terms of borrowing capacity. So I think as more and more banks catch onto this and can do it properly and give clients a chance, some hope, you know, that they can move across, get a cheaper repayment, that'll get them through hopefully the next 6 or 12 months, because there are rate decreases coming. I mean, it's quite widely spoken in the media at the moment that there are going to be rate cuts next year, just a matter of when they're going to start and when they're going to stop.
And that's the thing, like if you've been paying a higher repayment, you've been managing that repayment for 12, 18 months, 2 years, some of these people have been locked into higher rates for 3-4 years. I've got one I'm working with at the moment. Like you've been managing a repayment of 7-8% for that long. Like you can easily prove that you can do it, even though you don't quite meet all the boxes within the lending guidelines of that particular bank. You're still making the repayments, you're managing, you're getting by. So you deserve to be on a better interest rate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. So, yep.
And Philip Lowe's out.
Philip Lowe is out, yes. We've got a new governor, first female in history.
Yeah.
Reserve Bank. So there you go. So And hopefully she's been tasked with bringing rates down, not going up. So we'll see what happens next year. But do you reckon Philip Lowe's got a couple more rate increases in him before he gets out?
When's his final day?
September.
18th of September, I think.
He'll get two more.
And then he'll be off to the Bahamas. You're watching. So.
I'm looking forward to the 27th. I think new governor means, to me, like, this is my personal opinion, I don't think new governor really means that much. Obviously, Philip Lowe had really poor communication skills, like, you know, telling people to do this, telling people to do that, rates won't go up till then. Oh, and then when they do go up, oh, move in with family, spend less, like, you know. Yeah, he had very poor communication skills, but I still think, like, at the end of the day, he had one job to bring inflation down. He had one tool, so he was just, you know, it doesn't matter who's in that chair, they're probably going to do similar things.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully, yeah, the latest inflation data is out on the 27th of this month. So
it'll be very interesting.
Let's look at the quarterly figure, which will be, you know, is one of the more accurate ways to sort of, yeah, measure it. So hopefully there's some good news there. And
the comparison against America, you know, Australian economic and, you know, they do everything sort of intertwined.
Yeah, we're just a little bit behind, and theirs has come down significantly.
It's 3%.
Yeah, they're 3%.
Back to target range, which is massive news.
I think it was the lowest in 2 years.
Yeah,
for the, you know, for inflation over there. So, which is a good outcome. So, I think I'm expecting inflation results to be down end of the month. To be honest with you,
Well, it's always good to do these chats, just to give our audience just an update of, you know, what's going on in our world and explain anything that needs to be explained.
Yeah, give us a call. As I've said in the past, we're always here to help, and there's so many different varying policy niches and you know, different rates and products and banks.
And pricing.
Give us a call. Don't ever be told no somewhere and then just give up.
Yeah, definitely.
Give us a call.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future topics, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. All of these episodes are available to download for free wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, take care.